glorious and majestic. Good morning. Good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Jim Kless, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope that you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of the Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, All People That Are on Earth Do Dwell, hymn 435 in Lutheran Worship.
Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. Is a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Worship you, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, When Long Before Time. The lecture this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
First reading is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and verses 7 through 15. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's home. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean, that like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in responsive reading of Psalm 111 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the land of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
The second reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God, except against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "All Depends on Our Possessing," hymn 415 in the Lutheran Worship. This is your hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, WXRL.
Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you. From God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. That's the gospel lesson that Sue just read for us a few moments ago. There was a story that was told about this little boy who had been given an orange by this old man that he had never met before. Well, when the boy received that orange from the old man, the mom asked the little boy, Did you say thank you to that very nice man? Or I'm sorry, what do you say? What do you say to that very nice man who just gave you the orange? And well, with that, the little boy thought about it for a second, and then he handed the orange back to the old man, and he said, peel it for me. It's kind of funny, right? And it's something that you would expect out of a little kid, but at the same time, it isn't all that funny, really, when you think about it, because it kind of expresses a lack of gratitude. The little boy received this gift and really should have just been filled with thanks to the old man for getting it in the first place, but instead he turns and he hands it back and says, do something more for me. You know, it got me thinking. You and I have a whole lot to be thankful for, don't we? And yet how sometimes that spirit of ingratitude can dwell in us too. God gives to you and I. He does. And he gives to you and me so generously, so graciously, all the time. And yet as true as that may be, there are those times when ingratitude just dwells in our hearts. And being real, how ingratitude seems to be so prevalent in today's world. How our attitudes sometimes don't at all reflect thankfulness and gratefulness for all that God does for you and me, for all that God provides for you and me, but rather how sometimes we can have those bitter hearts, disgruntled nature, or a sense of lacking. I suppose the sin side of us, I suppose the devil's drive would have us believing that there is something more. And that sin side of us and the devil's influence, if you will, can have you and me believing that enough is never enough. But here's the thing, friends. Working in you and me is something far bigger than that persuasion of the evil one. Working in you and me is something far bigger than the ways of the world and the influence of the world. You see, working in you and me is faith. And faith is contrary to the ways of the world. Faith, a faith that's contrary to the ways of the wicked one, drives out that demon of ingratitude and works in you and me an attitude of gratitude. All the time, in all the seasons, and in all the circumstances. So to get you thinking a little bit about this morning, I want to draw you back to the gospel reading that Sue read for us a little while ago. If you remember, we heard about how Jesus came into the midst of how many lepers? 10. Came into the midst of 10 lepers. Now, what do you know? Help me out with this for a minute. What do you know about lepers? What can you say about their condition, their ranking in society at that time? Outcasts? The lowest of the low? Unworthy? What else? Unclean? Yeah, could you imagine that for a second? When they were making their way into a community or into a place, they had to announce with the loudest of voice, unclean, 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 and then and then people would clear. Could you imagine having to do that? They were the outcasts. They were the unclean. They were the untouchables. They were looked at as the lowest of the low. And so thinking about their lives, thinking about their circumstance, you would think that these were the kind of people that really had nothing at all to be thankful for, right? At least until Jesus enters in. You see, Jesus saw them much differently, didn't he? Jesus saw them as a people of great worth. And Jesus heard their cry for mercy. And while so many other people had no use for those 10 lepers, and while the standards of the law of that day had them declared as the untouchables, Jesus thought much, much differently. You see, our Jesus, who is love and mercy all the time, he didn't ignore them, but he responded. And this Jesus, in mercy and in power, healed them. He restored them to community, giving to them life. And he changed their lives forever. When Jesus healed those 10 lepers, every single one of them had the same outcome, right? Health, restoration, life. But the sad reality that day was that nine of those 10 lepers went on their way. They never returned. They never expressed a word of thanks. I suppose we could say that they had a faith of self-interest. They got what they wanted. They were done. But that one Samaritan, that one, probably, by the way, the least likely of the 10, he was a Samaritan. That one Samaritan knew. He knew he owed it all to his Jesus. By faith, he knew that he did nothing at all to deserve that healing, that restoration, and that life. He did nothing at all to deserve that mercy. But my goodness, did he know that Jesus was the sole reason for it. He knew that Jesus came to him and touched him with his power and his presence. And he knew that this Jesus had a profound impact on him right then and right there. And he knew that this Jesus would have a profound impact on his life going forward. He knew by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit that true healing had come to him that day. A healing of the body and a healing of the soul. Now, of course, there's a big picture behind all of this, isn't there? It communicates and speaks something to you and me today. Of course, that's how God's word works, isn't it? God's word is alive. And the big picture reminds you and me that we are the 10 lepers. Did you ever think of yourself that way? Oh, now maybe you don't have leprosy. But there is a disease of the heart. Sin. We're sin sick. And it's this Jesus who comes to you and me, isn't it? It's this Jesus who comes to you and me with mercy and grace. It's this Jesus who touches us with his life-giving presence. And it's by his death and it's by his resurrection that you and I are forgiven, healed, promised life. See, it's this Jesus who too has compassion on you and me. It's this Jesus who responds to us in mercy. And it's this Jesus who still, yet even today, has compassion on us. This Jesus, our Jesus, as he loves us, as he cares for us, as he knows our every single need and he reaches out to you and me, as he forgives us over and over and over again when we bring those sins to him with contrite hearts. It's this Jesus who continues to give to us his compassion and his mercy as he restores us to himself, as he restores us to one another, as he focuses us on what's important, on what we truly have in him, and as he refocuses us over and over and over again, because how easily we lose focus, don't we? As he transforms us, as he opens up our eyes to see just how much we have to be thankful for. And so I suppose, as we find ourselves in this place today, as we find ourselves in the context of this world, in the context of our families, in the context of our friends, the question for you and me is, where do we stand? Do we fall into the trap of self-interest faith? A faith that calls on Jesus? A faith that vows devotion to him until all is well? And then he takes that back burner. A faith that takes a lot and thanks a little. Or is our faith one that's spirit motivated? Is our faith a living faith? A faith that's filled with an attitude of gratitude. And that's the kind of faith that you and I are called to have. That's the kind of faith that the Spirit empowers you and me to have. A faith filled with an attitude of gratitude. And that's a nice ring, isn't it? That sounds nice. Attitude of gratitude. To live, to think, to act, to walk, to talk, to spend our every day of our lives giving thanks to God for what he's given us, how he provides for us over and over and over again, and giving thanks to our God for our Jesus and the life-giving gifts he's given to you and to me. To have an attitude of gratitude for those little things. The quick smile from someone, the moments of grace, the brief encouragements, and those little victories. And we have them every day, don't we? Sometimes we don't see it because we're always looking for the big stuff. An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude even for the big things. The unexpected gifts, the significant successes, the life-changing outpourings of grace, the reality of forgiveness. To have an attitude of gratitude in the trials, too. In those moments of our lives when we could do without the things that maybe we're enduring or experiencing. To have that attitude of gratitude because we know. We know that we aren't alone in it. And we know that God's presence is our strength. To have an attitude of gratitude for one another. For the blessing of this faith family, this church. For the blessing of our families. and our friends, and with all the stuff that comes with it. But how blessed we are to have each other, to have an attitude of gratitude that realizes that we have it all in our Jesus. To have an attitude of gratitude that lives thankfully, faithfully, and generously. Today, my friends, once again, we are reminded of just how much we have. We're reminded of just how much we have to be thankful for, and how our lives can be a constant outpouring of gratitude to our God in all circumstances. God is good all the time. How blessed we are. What more can we say but thank you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Richard Thurner and Rose Kirsch in memory of Ryan Thurner, who claimed the victory Jesus Christ won for him and entered into his eternal resting place on October 16th, 2018.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include in your prayers a good friend of Barb Perry, Jenny Kimmick, and I may be saying the last name wrong, but you got it? Okay. Say a prayer for Jenny as she's experiencing some health issues and some transition as she deals with her health issues. So please keep her in your prayers, but also keep Barb in your prayers as she kind of helps her through this challenging time. Say a word of prayer for my neighbor, Sandy, and her family as they mourn the death of Sandy's husband, Gene, this past week. He was long time illness, and so God relieved him of that pain and took him home. So please keep Sandy and the family in your prayers. We say a special word of prayer for Ava Goodyear. Ava Goodyear is a little newborn from our congregation. I mentioned last week that she was going to be undergoing cardiac surgery at Strong Memorial Hospital. I'm happy to announce that she's doing really, really well, recovering good. Weight's been lifted off of mom and dad's chest and the rest of the family, as you can only imagine. But we rejoice in the healing that's coming her way. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, your mercies are new each and every day. And we thank you once again for the joy of being together as family. Lord, sometimes in life there are things that skew our vision, that get in the way of how blessed we truly are. Lord, we pray that your Spirit's presence would rest upon our hearts and our minds this day, that you would fill us overflowing with thankfulness for all that you give, for all that you provide for our lives, in both body and in soul. We give you thanks for the bountiful goodness that flows out from you each and every day as you see our needs and you respond so graciously and so mercifully. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus, who is the greatest gift of all, who is our truest treasure, whose death and resurrection secures for us life and life to the full. Lord, it's with these overflowing and thankful hearts that we know that we can turn to you with every single one of our needs. And sometimes, Lord, the needs are great in this place. And we know, Lord, that you know what's on our hearts and what's on our minds. Each of our hearts and each of our minds. Lord, so we bring those prayers to you confidently. The prayers of our hearts for our friends, for our family members, even for ourselves. Lord, this morning we especially pray for Jenny. We pray, Lord, that you would send your Spirit and open her, that you would bring to her the healing that she needs, that you would help her to see the people that you've placed into her life, in her life, as a blessing. Bless doctors, nurses, social workers, and anybody else that's working with her, that they might guide and heal Jenny in the ways that are best for her. For Sandy and her family as they mourn the death of Gene, Lord, that they might find peace in your promise, a promise that says you are the resurrection and the life. For Ava, boy, our hearts rejoice today. Our hearts rejoice in the healing that you've brought to her. We thank you for the doctors and the nurses, the surgeons who worked on her to make her well. Lord, we pray continued healing. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless mom and dad and the rest of the family with a spirit of peace and thankfulness for your presence in their time of need. Free our hearts, Lord. Free our hearts this day from the things that weigh us down. Lift us up. Lift us up by your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Finally, Lord, we thank you for each and every one of the families in this congregation. We thank you for those who are visiting with us today. Empower us. Empower us to be your people in this world. A people overflowing in thankfulness. A people with attitudes of gratitude that all might see through us your undying love and the true gift that you are to us all. All this and so much more, we pray in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Our closing hymn is, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing, hymn 218 in Lutheran Worship.
With you. I pray that you've been blessed in your time here this morning. It's good to see all of you, but it's especially good to see some guests and visitors who are here with us this morning. Welcome to St. John's, and I do pray that you've been blessed. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you would, just take a moment and sign our guest book. It's tucked away on the table behind the door in the fellowship area. On the announcement end of things, just to highlight a few things that are coming up. All Saints Day, is always the first Sunday or the first weekend of November, and it's our tradition on All Saints Day to have a slideshow presentation out in the fellowship area that kind of highlights all those saints, all those people in our lives. Members of St. John's, but also family members, your personal family members who have touched your lives. So if you have a picture of someone that you would like to be included in that slideshow, please make sure that you get that picture to me so that I can include it. If it was someone that passed away, officiated this past year, officiated at the funeral, I will automatically include their picture in that slideshow. So if I did that, I already have it, but if it's somebody else, family or friend, just make sure you get
the people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in Center Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Jim Kless, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is 125 years in the village of Depew, but we have some projects that we're working on, and so I just kind of want to highlight two of the projects. Each year that they had an anniversary, looking back at the 90th and the 100th, they had a sort of anniversary yearbook, and what they did in that yearbook is they would highlight the history of the church. But what we would like to include this time around in our anniversary book is not only the history of the church, but kind of the history of the people as it comes from you. Some of your memories of St. John, some of the special things that happened in your life, or the special way that St. John's impacted your life over the years. So we would like those to be included in that yearbook that you would receive in connection to the anniversary celebration. So, reflections that you have, jot them down. The easiest, if you can, is to email them to us, get them to us in electronic, and then that saves us having to retype stuff. But if you can't, just submit it. Get it to the office, and we'll compile it and make sure that it's included in that book. All right, so I do hope that there's a good amount of success with that part of the yearbook. So please think about the different ways St. John's has impacted your life over the years. The other thing that we want to do is a pictorial directory, but not in the pictorial directory sense that you're used to with LifeTouch or Olin Mills coming in and scheduling appointments and all of that kind of stuff, but more just in-house is the plan. So we'd like to snap your picture, your family picture, as you're leaving church, just as you are, right? That's who we are, right? So you don't have to get all fancied up and make special poses. We are who we are as a people of God, and I think that speaks very well. And I think that's going to be a neat part about this directory. We'll get you just as you are coming out of church. Hopefully, with smiles on your faces. But anyway, we kind of need some help with that though, because we want to do it in-house. We're not bringing in any kind of professional photographer to do it. R.J. Neiman, our contemporary band worship leader, has offered to help out with those pictures, but he's in a position of ministry that requires some of his time. I've offered to do it, but here I stand. And Ross Cantella has also offered to help. But Ross, with some of the stuff that goes on in his life, it makes it difficult for him to be here all the time, too.
Pastor?
Yeah.
Could people submit selfies instead?
Absolutely. You can submit a selfie. Here's my thought with having a camera here, though. Everything is on a disc. So if we can get it on the camera, that either my camera or RJ's camera, then it's all there, and we don't have to worry about uploading, downloading, and all that kind of stuff. But if that's the only way, it'll work out fine. But if there's somebody who's willing to take some pictures, you can use my camera. It's here every Sunday. Super simple. We'll set it on the automatic, and you just snap pictures as people are going out. All right? So if you're interested in helping me out with that, let me know, and I will receive you. Our committee will receive you graciously, because we really want to see success with this project. So, all right, just let me know if that's something you can help out with. Okay? Anything else for the good of the group? Helena. Thank you, Homer. Okay. Me be here next week? I just was going to tell Rod I was taking off next week. All right. Enough. Good. Have a blessed week, everyone. Kyle, turn 21. Tomorrow. Wow. What are you doing with yourself? Yeah. It's parasite. Back to school. Well, that's right. That's right. Well, happy birthday. Do you want us to sing to you, or you want to forego that? Are you sure? Are you sure? All right. We're still going to sing to you. All right, let's sing. Happy birthday to you.